listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kolula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
For the most, Nikki Kolula. We're going to jump right into this episode. We have an amazing artist who are welcoming back. Say hello to La Raca Flaca. How are you, Rachel?
Hi, I'm so good. How are you?
Say, aka Rachel Scutti. Did I say it correctly?
Scutti or Scuddy, either way works.
Oh, I love it. The Scuddy is the Jersey version,
it's
right?
The Jersey, but Italian
Scutti.
Is.
Yeah, that's right.
Scutti. That's right.
That's right. Well, let me ask you. How your family, what do they say?
Scuddy. We're American.
They say Scuddy. Yeah. So they're like, we're Jersey. We're Jersey all the way.
Very Madagon, yes.
You must have a high caliber of Italian restaurants that you love, or you probably go to two or three that are just better than all the rest back in Jersey. Is that right?
It's right, yeah. There's a few mom and pop hole in the wall ones where I would say is top notch.
You're like, that's it.
Yes.
Let me ask.
The best.
So we just actually had some potato ravioli for dinner. I was like, oh, this is so perfect that Rachel's our guest tonight.
Yes.
But what is your order when you go to your favorite Italian restaurant in Jersey?
Well, nowadays, you know, I turned vegan since moving out here. Weird. But, you know, it'll be something like eggplant maybe.
Like eggplant marinara, like something like that?
Yes. And then pasta, even if it isn't vegan, it's not straight up cheese or egg. So pasta for sure.
That's awesome.
Any pasta will do. Yes.
Well, good choices. All good choices. And we're excited to play some new music that you just released. And you have been just like, you know, killing it on the YouTube side of things. Like you're making all these cool music videos. Let's talk a little bit about this new music video that you just released. How did it come about? Tell me, I know soccer is the main theme because World Cup is coming and, you know, there's a lot of excitement around that. So tell me what the inspiration was behind it and how the collaboration came about.
Right. So I met this artist, Reggae Sam, and he originally used to, he's a pioneer in reggae, reggaeton. Oh, cool. So he used to, perform and collab with The General, if you know El General.
Yeah, I know some. Yeah, yeah.
A very famous reggaeton artist. So that's really what sparked my interest. I knew him for a while, but I didn't realize that he was actually with him. So then he was like, let's write this song. He wrote the song dedicated to the World Cup. I'm on it. I own the song, but I love it because the World Cup is right around the corner. So it's kind of just like beneficial for the both of us.
Right. Well, and it's also like for soccer fans, you're already hyped about the World Cup. You know, just the fact that it exists is exciting. You know, it's like having a Super Bowl that happens like the Olympic Games once every 4 years, you know, in the sport that you love. So getting any excitement around it, especially through songs, is just awesome. So I love that this, like, I didn't see it coming, first of all. You're wearing the right jacket, too. You're wearing an Adidas tracksuit.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Super soccer heavy, you know? So, but I mean, like, it's just cool because soccer is such a great sport. It's the most popular sport worldwide. And it is coming to LA. And it is exciting that it's coming back to LA. And there's a song to kind of like get people riled up about it. So, did you find it like, did it pique your interest with soccer more because you're like, you know what? I need to get hyped about this because this is
absolutely. I wouldn't have paid attention any other way. I mean, I like sports, but I'm not one to be like, I got to watch this game and I'm going to bet on this game. But I didn't even think people put songs out for the World Cup. You know, obviously Shakira and those, but I was like, I didn't even think of that. So right. that was a genius idea. And I was like, yeah, I'll hop on it. Absolutely. And then we just did a video with a green screen. It was a long time making the music video. That's a whole nother story. But
let's talk about
5:20 a.m.
Oh, my God. What?
On the day that it was due. Yeah.
What? All right. So let's talk about that. Like green screen madness is not easy because you're not, for people that don't know, you're just standing in front of a green screen, not really knowing what the image is going to look like later. And you're having to kind of like be in some kind of mood or some kind of like zone of expression.
Yes.
Tell me what that like was. What was that like for you?
It actually just took a few hours randomly in the day. I wasn't even prepared. You know, I didn't get my makeup done professionally or anything. And we're just like, okay, let's do this. A couple hours. We were just being told like how to act and what to do. And we just had fun with it. You know, we're drinking some beers as well and just having a good time and ended up being like a really fun experience.
And you had met with him before working on the song, or was it remotely? And then you were meeting for the first time. Like, what was that like?
We collabed physically. He was over at my place a few times and then we finished the song and we're like, let's do this music video. And it was actually done on a phone.
It seems like there was chemistry, like, you know, you were having fun. Like, it was genuine.
There was
a genuine connection to the song, to the theme, to the vibe. How did you know what was going to be in the background? Or, like, did you kind of, like, specify to the team, like, hey, it'd be cool to have this. Like, tell me what that was like. Because you could have anything. With a green screen, you have so many options. It could be anything. It's just crazy, you know?
Yeah, since I'm not like the sports guru, he had a lot of say in what would be in the music video. And I was like, yeah, this sounds great. And then we just kind of just agreed on everything. And I was very low maintenance this time, but it ended up being a great music video all in all. So
you're like, can I just have a soccer ball in there somewhere?
Right, exactly. I got the soccer ball off Amazon, all the countries. And I was like, all right, let's just do this. And he was hyped. So it made me hyped. So yeah.
No, it's really, I mean, you know what? Like, my brother is a diehard soccer fan. It's like, when people are just like diehard about that sport, it just gets them pumped. I don't know if you know this, but Ricky Martin made his break at World Cup.
Okay.
Like, he did a song called Cup of Life, and it literally was what broke him and made him do Livin' La Vida Loca and kind of like this Western phenomenon, because he broke at the World Cup. Like, it was just like a random thing, and then it became like this phenomenon. He became a phenomenon. So
that's awesome.
You never know. Rachel, you could be performing at the World Cup. It's here. Okay. You know what I mean?
Even if there's certain I know there's a lot going on in June out in Los Angeles. I'm hoping to perform at least one time at one show out, maybe, you know, near downtown LA. So we'll see.
Yeah, well, awesome. I love that you and I are starting to make music together, and I'm getting the opportunity to play guitar for you, which has been awesome. And it's made me fall in love with your songs. Like, your songs are so catchy. Like, every time I work on them, I'm like, man, these songs are good. They're just good songs. For all of our listeners, we're playing Thursday, June 4th at the Mint. Is that correct? I think it's at 9:50, baby.
9:50.
So, yeah. Go. So, you know, you got to come out and check out her music. She's got great songs. Let's play the soccer song. What's the name of it one more time?
Socatina Mundial.
And what does it mean?
Well, Socatina is a whole other genre, right? Socatina, it's hard to explain, but it's basically the Socatina genre. Okay. Mundial, Copa Mundial would be World Cup. So it's a Socatina genre.
I love it. Well, here's
Socatina. Yeah.
Here's Socatina Mundial by La Raca Flaca.
Ready to play, to kick the ball and to score the goal. When you see your team every in the field and ready for the game. When the whistle blow, everybody,
let's play.
FIFA World Cup is the best game. Put your hands up, put your flags up straight.
Jumpsuit, Batman. That was right. Awesome. What should I wear? I'm gonna go with a jumpsuit. That's awesome. No, it's such a catchy song. It's such a catchy beat. Did he come up with the beat? Did you come up with the beat together? How did it start?
So one of my producers actually had this beat, and Reggae Sam was just like, all right, I want to write on this. We're gonna write for the World Cup. And he came up with the lyrics, and I jumped on the chorus and, you know, parts of the verse, and yeah, it was like a dynamic trio.
I mean, you know, it's so cool when you have a beat maker kind of like, it's kind of cool when people stay in their lanes on that, where it's like,
yeah,
beat maker does the thing, rapper does the thing, yep, singer does the thing. And it's like, that's why it kind of all works too. It's like, oh man, everybody's like collaborating, but everybody's doing what they do best, you know.
Exactly. So, and this was an older beat, like this wasn't made for this. It just was sitting, you know, in his computer, right. And yeah, it was.
And did you ask him, like, do you have any reggaeton? Like, how did you kind of come about? Like, how did he come up? Like, with he just knew he had this beat.
Yes, I guess we were just going through songs. Right. You know, they were together sometimes without me, but I feel like that's how it did come about. And I was just kind of monitoring everything.
That's awesome. Well, I mean, collaboration is so important, I think. So it's like, I love that you're kind of going into that realm, because I think it's super important. It's like, I think it makes your writing better. It also makes the act of music kind of more joyful, because it's like, oh, I wouldn't have expected something like this to go in this direction, or, you know what I mean? And he's also like, he's got a vibe. You can just see he's got a vibe that's so different. It's like
very old school Panamanian reggaeton. So like, he's out in Panama right now, actually, like, you know, pushing this song and pushing other songs. But so he knows maybe the music video, he's been in the music for a while. So I trusted him. You know, you can't collab with everyone, but this was a good deal. Yeah.
That's amazing. And you know what? It's such a festive song. It's like, it's infectious. And it's also like, how could you not love it? Because World Cup is coming, and it's like, okay, this is fun. Oh. This is exciting. Did it make you want to
make me more into it?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Did it make you like want to write more songs for the World Cup or for the Olympics or for sports in general? Like, did it kind of get you hyped for, you know, because there's something about it. There's a parallel.
Yes. I mean, probably in the future, maybe, you know, we'll see where this song takes off. I still have to push it more and more. I'm a little late in the game because I've been so busy with work, but this weekend I will be promoting it more and putting it out there more. And it comes, you know, we got June and July for the World Cup, right? So I still have a little bit of time, but I'm definitely going to see where it takes us.
It's exciting. You know, it's like, it's getting into the sport is one thing, but it's like music kind of like pulls a lot of people that maybe not are into the sport into the sport.
Oh yeah.
So
I mean that Shakira song, Africa. It's like that's I loved that song and I became more into the World Cup from that song. So it was
Well, and the crazy thing is like my bass player, he's from Brazil, and it's like we do sessions at his studio. He always has a soccer game playing. Even if it's not World Cup or anything, there's always a game playing in that's some awesome. Like Premier League or some league in Europe. Like he's got a soccer game playing. He's like, man, he plays soccer every week. He's like, man, he lives this, you know? So
I love
you know,
it.
It's like those are the people that are gonna get excited about songs like this because you're getting hyped about a sport you love. You know what I mean? So it's amazing. Let's go back to the beginning. You came from Jersey and you started singing at what age? Like what was the moment of Zen that made you want like to fall, you fell in love with music and you wanted to do this. What was that moment of Zen for you?
I'd say I loved to sing since I was maybe 4 or 5, but I feel like MTV, MTV Jams, BET, VH1, It made me want to be in a music video and be like the artists, like Christina Aguilera, yes. Missy Elliott, Britney Spears, yes. Spice Girls. Like, so I think the music videos really helped me love the songs. And that's why I always wanted to make a music video for every song that I release because it comes from childhood, you know? And I feel like if you see a music video and you're not into the song, but you love the music video, it'll help you like the song more, you know?
That's so true. And also, I know you know this. It's like I missed like the video countdown. That's a part of my youth that kids today just will never appreciate. It's like the video countdown, wondering what was going to be number one, wondering what the new videos coming out were, wondering where they placed. That was exciting. I love that. And I still miss it. You know what I mean? You know exactly what I'm saying because it's
yes, I do.
We're like, okay, I'm gonna watch this, and you're getting introduced to artists, you're getting introduced to music, you're starting to love songs that you thought were okay. Now they're growing on you because you know the videos. And then it's also there's like this superstar part of it where it's like you can't take your eyes off these people because they're exciting. They're full of music. There's a story being told. And it could be like some hype party or it could be like a dramatic story. I also liked, and I'm sure you like this too, where artists would do a video and then they do like a prologue and they do like an epilogue. Like they do like some little vignette at the beginning before the video even starts of some story, some acting thing. And then the video would start and it was like, oh shit. Now the video has an intro and an outro. It's like, it's getting heavy duty, but kids today, they don't understand. Like,
no, what shame. It is. They took it off the air.
Yes. What is it? Well, let me ask you, what is your favorite music video? If music videos influenced and changed you, what is your favorite music video of all time?
I don't really have favorites, but I think I remember just like I Can't Stand the Rain from Missy Elliott.
Yeah.
I don't. Great. And then Genie in a Bottle.
Yeah.
Christina Aguilera. Awesome. There's so many, but when I look back at them, it brings me back. It's so nostalgic. But those are the two that come to mind. Spice Girls, obviously, like that's even later or earlier, but
yeah. That was what? That was 96?
Maybe. Maybe my memory shot. Yeah, probably. Yeah.
That's crazy. No, and it's also like, especially being a female, watching all these female artists kicking ass and being like, you look at them, they're like, you're like the boss. You know what I mean? It's like Christina Aguilera owns Genie in a Bottle. It's like, oh, you are a superstar. And then it's like Missy Elliott. It's like these are two women that are completely in opposite realms of style, sound.
Yes.
But they just the boss lady thing is real and happening. It's like, wow, this is empowering for young girls like yourself to see. Mm-hmm. And now you're doing it. So that has to be kind of like a cool nod that's you saw this and now you're doing this and kind of being very strategic and very proactive in making music videos. Tell me what your favorite part of the process of making a music video is.
Probably the end.
there's a truth in that. There's definitely a truth in that. Like once you know it's released, no, that's just, it's the truth. Because I know this too. It's like, first of all, it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Second of all, there's a lot of anxiety because you're like, oh my God, I hope we get it right. third of all, it's like, man, the editing part of the process is so crazy. I went through this once shooting a music video on the Santa Monica Pier. My director, he gave me like, this is what I think the cut should be. And I was like, nah, man, I need all the cameras and I need all the shots. And I sat there with like four different cameras, went through every single one and wrote notes of like, okay, camera one, 0:16 to 0:23. And I was like, man, I don't know if I'd do that again now because, but I'll tell you, I found shots that I was like, this needs to be in here. This needs to be in here. It didn't matter if they were perfect or not. But then we came up with an edit and he was like, man, he was like, you did a lot of work on this. I said, yeah. And he said, you did kind of like what I do, but you had a different take and perspective on it. He's like, I really love it. I actually love this, you know, this take. And he kind of taught me about like the frames per second and like how to kind of like understand how much time you really have to make something count. And it also made it exhausting. I'm like, man, I'm so glad I just do music. Like if I was an editor, that would be hard visually. It's just like, I hate it. I hated visual editing is like the probably one of the most respected jobs, I think, to me, because it is so hard and meticulous and it's so tedious and it's a lot. So I agree with you 100%. When the video is done, nothing could be better and happier. And also, let me ask you this. Before you release it, do you like watch it over and over and you're like, okay, it's done? Like, tell me what that experience is like.
I try not to get too involved in the editing process because I'll just be like this. So I just let them do their thing and I trust the process. I'm like, nah, because I'll be too obsessed with it. Like, I know myself. Yeah. So I just watch it a few times and I'm like, you know what? Or if I don't like a certain part, yes, take that out or change it.
What's a certain part? You're like, I don't like this shot.
I don't like the look of how my hair is or my face. It's petty stuff that is just personal that no one else would notice.
No, I totally get it. I totally get it. And it's like you have to – it's like your thing. So you have to make sure you're a goddess. You know what I mean? That's like how – that it totally makes sense. But it's just interesting when you hear that perspective of like, oh, what is an artist looking for? It's like – something trivial, or maybe it's like, oh, this, you know, for me, I found it like, oh, I want the storyline to be a certain thing. And if it's like, if it just looks like a bunch of images, it's not telling the story.
Right.
So that I learned too. It was a learning process. I want to do another one because it's just so much fun. But I commend you because you're so good about doing the videos, but it is a lot of work. That's the one part of it. I'm like, oh my goodness, it's a lot of work, but it's so fun when you have it done.
It is. And it's during the process too. You know, it's just, I need to get into more, less, I need to be in completely natural music videos starting the next one because I took a little break and they're still real, but there's a lot of AI going on like in the background just to save time.
Right.
But I think the next video or two, I'll be completely 100% there.
I love that. I love that. Well, let's play another one. What are you going to play next? Artist choice.
The Other Side is completely real. Well, actually, yeah. I mean, everything's real. But yes, The Other Side is something that came out, I believe it was last summer.
Okay.
That's a good one.
And I think you spell side differently, correct?
S-Y-D-E. It's just like a 90s thing.
I love it. It's cool. It's like, yo, this is what I like. I like. You know who did that a lot? Prince.
Okay.
He would change the pronunciation or spellings of words a lot. And I always love
it. It's a Gemini thing.
Yeah. No, I love it. So cool. All right. Well, here's The Other Side by La Rocca Flocca.
I gotta go. Gotta get away from here tonight. I gotta go. Break me far away from here tonight. Cause I really need to know who's waiting for me on the other side.
matrix, breaking out into another dimension. Parallel, I'm on a whole other level in the clouds.
I'm tripping now, I'm glitching now.
It's a grooving tune. What a catchy song.
I really like that song.
You write some really catchy stuff. Like seriously, your hooks are catchy, the vocals are catchy, and the video is cool. Like, what did you use? Lightsabers? Like, how did you get those lights? Well, those are cool.
Yeah, they were like those long lights that light up, and it was actually done on a phone too. Like, this is the second one that's been done on a phone, but I was really into like Glitch in the Matrix, like stories at that time. I don't know if you know anything about Glitch in the Matrix and Parallel Universe, but I was really into that. So that's really what influenced me to like write that song.
Well, it's cool too. It's like you're taking us there with the colors and the lighting and the vibe. Like, I love club music. I've always loved club music.
Yeah.
Just dance music, the EDM, all of it. Just, it's just been around forever, but it's just like so good. It just is. It puts you in a bad – you can't really be in a bad mood listening to
– Exactly.
I mean, it's just like you have to really hate dancing or like times to like just be like –
It can be really boring.
Yes, I agree. So it kind of has that cool space where it's like you're just in that, you know, that discotheque vibe. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, did dance music become like a major influence for you growing up, like more recently? Like, tell me what that scene was like for you, because for us it was always Vegas, the Vegas clubs. Like, we used to hit a lot of Vegas clubs when I was in high school and college. Mm-hmm. High school, yeah, had a fake ID.
Get it.
But I mean, like, you know, like for you, was it like clubs in Jersey? Did you come out here? Was it clubs in LA? Like, where was it like a major influence for you?
I'd say dance music started when I was in like grade school. Like roller skating music, like, right. You know, LaBouche, En Vogue, all them, like all those 80s and 90s songs, mostly 90s.
Yeah.
I love them. But I always liked dance music. I mean, I used to go out in Atlantic City to clubs and dance, but it's not my go-to genre on my playlist when I'm driving, but I do like it.
We have to be in a mood. I think there's a certain mood where it's like, I won't listen to dance music like when I'm driving, but today I did. I was listening to a bunch of Zedd. I'm like, I love Zedd. I think Zedd is the truth to me when it comes to EDM. And it's like every time I hear him release something, I'm like, man, this guy's good. It's just, he's just so freaking good. So I just love hearing when people are innovating in the genre a little bit, and it's like hooky and it's like poppy and like it has this right place. But I agree with you. Sometimes I'm not driving to it because I'm not in the mood to hear it. But when you're in the mood to hear it, there's nothing better when you're just like, okay, this is the bomb, you know? So you must have fallen in love with dance music, even going to those clubs in Atlantic City. Like, you know what I mean? It just had to be a force because like the sound systems are great. It's like, you can't stop moving. And it's like, I know you felt this too, because I felt it. It's like, we used to go to Studio 54 in Vegas, and like the DJs were awesome. So it's like you'd hear these vocals and sounds and beats and then the lighting. It's like there's a real vibe where it's like, man, this is awesome. There's something that's, you know, it's like I don't miss having to dress up. I don't miss any of that part. But I miss like just being in a club listening to great dance music.
It and makes just, your body move.
Yeah, it makes your body move. And it's like you feel there's like a synergy with everybody that loves music. Yes. You see people dancing. Sometimes you'll see like a trapeze artist and like acrobats and stuff like that. That's a big scene too, you know. But I love that. That's a big force in a lot of your songs and music because it just makes you feel good. So tell me what the inspiration was behind the song. You said The Matrix, and you said some of that. But tell me, like, you know, what was the story that was playing in your mind?
You know, it probably came from like some sort of depression, to be honest. I mean, the other side can mean so many things. It can mean death, which could be the ultimate paradise for one, if you're ready for it. It can mean just getting to fame. Like if you're getting more successful in life,
right.
You know, just where the grass is greener. I mean, it can mean so many things, and I don't really think I have a meaning in the song. I just think it was trying to get out of that dark hole in my head, which happens often, but it's, music helps me, so.
Well, and I have a question too. This is like a question that I think most guys won't think of, but like as a girl doing a dance song, you had to have a vibe and a look and a, like, how did you come up with that whole sense of this is what I want the music video to look like for me? Like, how did you come up with that persona and that style, like that look, whatever it was? What was the inspiration behind it? Because there is expression in fashion, as you know, you know?
You know, I'd say it wasn't really a big plan. I just kind of acted natural. I didn't have any makeup on. I just put like, you know, face moisturizer on, and I just washed my hair, and I just kind of was in my mood, and I just did it. Like, there was no real big plan.
That's crazy. I love
ironically,
that.
Yeah.
Just off the on the fly, you're like, okay, let's do this.
Yes.
That's, well, I mean, there's something amazing about that too, because it's like off the cuff. It's like, yo, this is it. No overthinking. Like, you know, it's easy for artists to do that. So I love that you were just like, no, this is cool. This is what it is.
Yeah.
But like, but there is some kind of planning. There has to be some kind of planning to know, all right, yeah, I'll wear this. Okay, yeah, I'll do this. Okay, this is the look. This is the lighting. This is what I want it to look like. There had to be something that you were piecing together the night before, maybe.
Yes, but it was not so much me. It was more of the videographer. So,
right.
I mean, I agreed to it, you know, but right. It was as much as I'd like to take creativity credit. I kind of just did what I could, and it was more of a collaboration type.
You're like, make sure those lightsabers are there. I'll take care of everything
else. Yes.
No, it's got a vibe. It's got a real cool vibe. Let's play something else. What do you want to play next?
I guess This Feeling, that was like the second most recent video that I came out with.
I love this song, by the way. So
thank you.
It's already going to be one of my top favorites of yours. But
yay!
Here's This Feeling by La Rocca Flocca.
Thank you.
La Roca Flaca getting a little political. I love it. A little music with a message. All right, tell me what this message was for you.
And why. This message, well, I think I believe I wrote it probably like in August of last year, September, when a lot of stuff was going down. And basically what the lyrics say was what was on my mind. It's very repetitive, right? So it's not like an interesting, like, different lyric song, but
It's so catchy, and it's like you can't deny the pop sensibility of it, the mantra of it, and it's also you do that in the image and the imagery of the video. It's like you have certain phrases connected to what you're seeing, and it's like you have this almost apocalyptic, like, protest vibe thing happening, but you have this music kind of like grounding you and getting you through it, which is kind of awesome. You know, it's like you have this dichotomy of political turmoil and social turmoil, and then music, like, you're like the Goldilocks, you know, like you're like the you know, you're that girl in the middle of the chaos trying to just like make sense of it all.
Yeah,
tell me what you were experiencing or feeling, or what the emotion was behind it in, you know, when you were writing it. Because I want to know what you must have been angry. It sounded
angry. Yeah. I was fearful, which they want you to feel fearful, and it worked.
Yes.
I was mostly angry, though. That's really it. I was angry, mad, sad, everything. And I still am, but
yeah,
I feel like putting out music like that helps you get it off your chest. And yeah. I've been trying not to worry too much about it as much as I was, but it, you know, I put it out to execute it, to show others what's on my mind. And I know a lot of others agreed. So.
Well, what I love about it too, and I'm going to tell you this, it's like when you hear a female artist, you're not expecting a potent message like that, like something that's pretty aggressive, pretty political, like, don't give two shits about what, you know, it's like, I love that. That's what is empowering. And I feel like a lot of, especially female artists right now, I want more of that because, you know, shit is getting real right now. I've never seen the world. I was just telling some family friends last night. I'm like, I've never felt like the world was more upside down than it is right now.
Amen.
Like, you know, I'm like, I've never seen it this bad, and I've never seen more divide. And artists, like, I look at these pop artists that are huge, and I'm like, you're not talking about this? Like,
all the big
artists, when I was coming up, they would talk about this stuff. It would be like, let's lead a revolution. And it's like, there's this like, no, let's just like party in the corner and have a good time. And we'll just,
I don't want to lose followers or people. Right. Like, you know what? And I wasn't even explicit about it. Like, I wasn't saying certain things, but it was there. If you read between the lines, right? And see the music video.
Yes. No, that's what I love too. It's like, you showed that, and I hope you never stop that side of your voice in the sense of like what you're writing about, because we need that. We need a lot more of that, and we need a lot more of it from the female side too, because you should get people like up in arms about what's going on, and you have the power to do that, and you do it with sweetness too. It's like that melody is all honey, you know, it's like it's all nectar, you know what I mean? There's no vinegar in that. But it's like all the imagery and all the things around it, it has that vinegar. It's like that's what kind of makes it bittersweet, which I love. You know, it's like makes you swallow the message like, okay, there's some medicine. Here's some sugar. Okay, cool. But I feel like don't stop. Don't stop like writing from that perspective, because you have this cool pop sensibility about your writing where you can bring people together and get them on board. And if you're writing about stuff like this, it just adds so much fuel to that, you know, like it just feels like there's power behind it. So let me ask you, who is a female artist for you that made you feel like you could do that? You mentioned one, Missy Elliott. I know she has done that, you know, but for me, she's done some political stuff where she talks about like racial divides or socio divides. And then she has like the let's have, her big pop hits are like the let's get down at the club. You know what I mean? It's like that.
Yes.
Like she definitely has.
I don't know a lot of female artists. I say it's like, you know, even Tupac. Like, I'm thinking of male artists. I'm trying to think of male artists.
I would say Lauryn Hill for me is one of those artists.
Like, okay, yeah.
She'll like break down, like, I mean, she's, I don't know if you heard Miss Education. Like,
yes.
She had those skits in you know, in between. And it's like, usually I don't like skits if they're like, they're just like funny. But she had like real cool messages in the skits of like a classroom talking about like, you know, like kids like talking about social problems or like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And like hearing these kids like dream. It's like, man, that is powerful. And who's doing that stuff now? There's nobody. So, you know, it's interesting. So you mentioned male artists. Tupac, Biggie, who else were those artists?
Nas, even. I'd say a lot of artists. It's hard to pick up the spot, but.
Do you know Pharoah Monch by chance? Oh my God, I'm about to change your life. Pharoah Monch is one of the baddest rappers in the game, and he's like a rapper's rapper. Like, he's very political. He is so good, and his beats are insane. I've only seen him once, and it was like, man, I just want to just follow this cat around because he's just writing things that are like very important to hear, doing it with like a lot of power behind it in the music. And if you mention that you like Pharoah Monch to a rapper, and I've done it before, they're like, oh man, like he's my dude. You know what I mean? It's like, they all have that. Oh, he's amazing. He is Pharoah Monch is my favorite political rapper. He is just
Pharoah Monch. Okay.
You'll love him. So the reason I say that is because, you know, a lot of people aren't, there's no hip hop like that for me now. Like when I'm listening to hip hop now, I'm like, you ain't talking about the things that need to be talked about. And there are female artists that were talking about that stuff. And now I don't find that in a lot of the female the artists that are out there, but I do see there are female punk rock groups that are doing it, that are just like they're loud and proud and they're getting arrested for it. Like in Russia, there's a Russian punk band that got arrested and they were in jail for it. It's like there are girl groups out there, but I just don't see a lot of artists putting that message out there. And I'm like, I know you feel the same way. It's like, you know, the world is so upside down right now. And it's like, it's up to artists to kind of like take that responsibility to write about it. It's hard. It's hard to write about it because you don't want to isolate fans, but it's like at the same time.
Oh,
like,
well, to be honest.
Yeah, I love that about you. Yeah. So, yeah. Oh, well. Exactly.
The true ones will stay. And I wouldn't want to communicate with anyone who's against the good morals in the world. That's all.
Yeah, I love it. You come from a place of like, be a good person, love animals. Like, be, like, sweet and kind to people whenever you possible, and don't be an asshole. You know, and it's, like, so simple. It's so simple. And then it's, like, you see the world of what's going on. It's, like, whoa, wait a minute. This is none of that. So tell me what
– you would want to be around that anyway.
Right. Well, tell me the inspiration behind the video. This had to be a very strategic way.
It was.
Okay, so tell me about that process.
So I gave ideas to the music video, you know, producer, maker. And I gave a lot of ideas, and I was more involved with this. So although a lot of it was AI-based, obviously you can tell.
Right. But it's cool. It's like cool. Yeah. Like cool use of it.
But I would choose the scenes, and I would say, okay, I like this, I like that, and it was really cool because when we were making it, we were playing it backwards. And honestly, I would make a song out of the song backwards. It's a really cool melody. And I mean, I don't know. You remember like the Beatles when they did their song backwards? And you know, I mean, I was like, I think I'm going to do that.
You should do that. That would be awesome. I would love that.
Yeah.
You're saying the visuals too backwards? You were looking at the visuals backwards?
Yes. And it was just really cool. Like, yeah,
that's all. I mean, stuff like that. You're a real artist. You're thinking like that. Most artists aren't thinking like that. No artist is saying, let's do this backwards. It ain't happening. Like everybody, it's like,
a lot of artists don't have that. Maybe they don't. I mean, I was there actively there physically,
But, right.
You know, if I was hiring someone to just do it and I had no part in it, which sometimes happens, right. I wouldn't even know what it sounded like backwards, you know. But right. since I was physically involved, it really did help. So, awesome. But I was involved with the scenes. I loved the scenes. And
yeah. So what did you ask for specifically in the scenes?
I believe I asked for just like protests, just things that are, I don't remember, to be honest, but it's a lot of protests. I remember that.
Well, it's also like when you ask, like, there's moments where you're like walking and it's like, you look like you're a damsel in distress. And then there's like moments where yes. like, you look fierce. Like it's like, and then there's moments yes. where you're scared. It's like, oh my God. And then there's moments like, no, you know what? I'm aware, but I'm just going to keep doing, you know, doing me and just making sure that I just, traffic. Yes, yes. And like
fire,
the
fire crowd yeah, signs. Yeah.
Yes. And like, it's cool because it's like, you're the calm before the storm, or like the storm is around you and you're like yes. the calm. Did you kind of feel like that when you're writing the song? It had to have some therapeutic value on some level.
Yes, I believe. Well, the song?
Yeah.
Or the music video?
When you're, well, let's say both. When you're writing the song, there had to be a therapeutic part of that. And then when it's like you're kind of coming up with a political message, there had to be something empowering or kind of therapeutic also about like that level of expression of what you're talking about.
Yeah, I think just like the verse, like, I don't want to die because I'm just trying to live my life because, you know, it was dangerous not too long ago. I mean, it still yeah. is, but it.
Yep.
I just want to live. And then also the second part is like, I don't want to cry, but I also don't want to live in silence. Therefore, I will speak up. I will sing about it and I will talk my shit because you're not going to silence me because yeah. I'm not going to cry. I need to, you know, I will cry out, actually. I won't live in silence. I will not be silenced.
Give me chills.
So that, I feel like they were the powerful verses, even though it's a very simple song.
Right.
You know,
it's well, just fire. There's fire in it. And it's like, yes. you hear it right away. It's like, there's a sweetness and a vibe, but there's fire and potency in the lyrics and what you're talking about. And that's what makes it have that power. It's like, there's just fire all around it. I mean, you see it in the protest, but like, you can't deny the pop sensibility of the song and how melodic it is. But then when you hear the lyrics, it's like, oh, this is not like sweet. Like, oh, I had a blueberry muffin this morning for breakfast. It's not like something trite. It's like immediate and urgent and something that you want people to know, like, yeah, you're not alone in feeling this. And I know people feel this song in that way because they're like, yo, I'm with this. Like, I'm not alone when I hear somebody say it out yeah. loud. Sometimes that's what you need. You need somebody to stand above the crowd and say, this is how I feel, who's with me. And you did it with yep. that song. So
And the feeling literally did hang all over me for a very long time. Every day I woke up, every day I went to work. So it's, yes. they're all truth. It's all truth yeah. behind it.
Well, I hope you always write from that place. Like at Thank least you, a song every now and then, please, Rachel. Like, we need artists like you. We need messages like this. We need some of that empowerment. And also there's empathy in some of the things you're talking about. It's like, you know, like I, you know, when you say, I just want to live my life, I feel empathy towards that. It's like, yeah, who doesn't feel that, you know? So
yes.
I hope you always write from that place because there's something super honest about it. It's got some venom, which we need, you know, we need to hear some of that, but it's also got that sweetness to it. That's just your vibe. You're like, I'm going to be sweet, but I'm going to be loud and proud and
sweet, but sour.
Yeah. Yeah. Sweet, but sour. I just love it. That should be your slogan, girl. Well, where can people find your music? Where can people find your YouTube channel? Tell me all the places on all the platforms where people can find you.
Sure. It's just my artist name, La Raca Flaca. It's LaRacaFlaca. Anywhere. YouTube, Instagram, Spotify.
Okay. On all the platforms. And if people want to yes. find you on Instagram, is it La Raca Flaca on Instagram too?
Yes.
You're lucky.
Even though the name looks like it's Lara.
Right.
Yeah, it's La Raca Flaca. There's just no spaces.
I remember you told me the name is because an old producer kind of like that you worked with or an old band collaborator, you guys came up with this name, and then you're just like, no, this is just going to be it. Is that the story? I remember you said that in the last interview.
The story is actually from multiple people. So my old Spanish teacher in high school called me Raka out of nowhere because my real name is Rachel and Raquel for short, and I don't know how she came up with Raka. Cool. And then I had some friends back in college that they were Peruvian and also just other Latin Americans that they would say flaca. Well, flaca doesn't always mean skinny, but flaca, like, hey, girl, flaca.
Right.
So
right.
I just put the two together and then I added la, the Raka flaca. And it kind of came about in multiple, maybe decades of my life. And then it kind of came about that way.
Well, it's edgy. I just think it's awesome. So I love
the name. Thank you. I appreciate that.
I love the name. I'm looking forward to playing guitar for you June 4th.
Yes, I can't wait. Please come out.
Los Angeles, come out. Hear her songs. They're great. They're catchy. They're infectious. June 4th, 9:50, The Mint, Los Angeles. Be there. Be square. And check out Rachel's music at La Raka Flaka on all the platforms, Spotify, Instagram, YouTube. Check out her music videos. She is a great artist, and I hope you love her music as much as I do. On behalf of Sam, myself, and Rachel, a.k.a. La Raka Flaka, we'll see you guys here next week. Peace, love, and take care of yourselves. All right.
We out. Bye.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Corulla and Eddie Pence. Right here on LA Talk Radio.